to turn in the Word of God this evening to Matthew and chapter 11, and our text is verse 28. Matthew 11, verse 28. The words of the Lord Jesus Christ. "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." We might receive in life many different invitations. Invitations with varying degrees of importance. You may have an invitation to a wedding. You might have an invitation to have coffee with someone. You may have an invitation to dinner. Or you may have an invitation to share a holiday with someone in some exotic place. None of the invitations that you get in this world can compare with the invitation in our text from the Lord Jesus Christ. "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." It's a great invitation, and it has a wonderful promise. The invitation to come to Jesus, and the promise to all who come, laboring and heavy laden, He will give you rest. It's a wonderful invitation, and I want you all to accept it, if you haven't already done so. And I want you all to enjoy that rest that Jesus speaks about. So we need to think about, what does it mean to come to the Lord Jesus Christ? And what does it mean to find this rest? Well, earlier in his gospel, Matthew has been quite careful to give us repeated accounts of people who came to Jesus. Chapter 8, verse 2, he says, "A leper came to Jesus." 8, verse 5, he says, "A centurion came to Jesus." In 8, verse 25, he says, "The disciples came to Jesus." Chapter 9, verse 2, he says, "There were four friends who came to Jesus, and they laid their paralytic friend before him." Chapter 9, verse 14, we're told that the disciples of John came to Jesus. In chapter 9, verse 18, Jairus came to Jesus. In chapter 9, verse 20, a woman came to Jesus. They all came to Jesus. And they all came to Jesus with one problem or another. And they all found that Jesus solved their problem. The leper found that Jesus could cure and cleanse him of his leprosy. The centurion found that Jesus could restore and bring his servant back to full health and strength with a word of a command. The disciples found that he had power to calm the storm that raged all around them while they were in the boat on the lake. The four friends who brought their paralyzed companion to the Lord Jesus Christ found that Jesus has power on earth to forgive sins and to heal the paralytic as well. The disciples of John found that Jesus was able to answer all their questions. Jairus found that Jesus could raise his dead daughter out of death back to life again. The woman who could not stop bleeding found that power flowed out of Jesus to stop the flow of her blood. She was made well. Most of these people literally came to Jesus physically, in person. The only one who didn't was the centurion. The other Gospels tell us that he stayed at home because he didn't feel he was worthy to meet Jesus. He didn't feel worthy to have Jesus come under his roof. So he sent people to Jesus to ask that he would just speak the word and his servant would be made well. They all came with faith in Jesus. Faith in Jesus. The leper came with the belief Jesus had the power to make him well. If you will, you can make me clean. The centurion had this extraordinary faith. All you have to do, Jesus, is speak the word, and my servant will be made well. Jesus said, I've not found greater faith in all Israel than the faith of that centurion. A faith that Jesus just didn't have to come. He could do things remotely. Just speak the word and the servant would be made well. The disciples, they came and woke Jesus in the boat. So you have a contrast. You have the centurion, of whom Jesus said, I've never found greater faith than this. And then you get his 12 followers in the boat, and Jesus says, oh, you of little faith. Why did you doubt? Why? What are you so worried about? The centurion, great faith. The disciples, little faith. It didn't matter whether it was great faith or little faith. They came to Jesus. And in faith, and coming to Jesus, they found that Jesus solved their problem. And our text is an invitation to come to Jesus. Now, obviously, we can't come physically to him, but the invitation, the people then and the people now, is you come to Jesus by a living faith. And we come to Jesus, the risen, death-conquering Saviour. You can approach him by faith. Your faith can move through space and time. Your faith can reach up to heaven. That's what we do when we pray, isn't it? When we pray to God in heaven. It requires faith. Whoever comes to God must believe that he is, and that there's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So when we come to Jesus, we come to Jesus, who is now seated in heaven. We come to the death-conquering, risen, living Jesus. We don't come to some memorial stone that commemorates him. We don't come to the written text of Scripture only. We come to Jesus. Jesus said to the people in John's Gospel, chapter 5, search the Scriptures, for they testify of me. You think that in them you have eternal life, but they testify of me, but you won't come to me that you might have life. The Scriptures are vital, for all the information we have about Jesus is contained in the Scriptures. But we don't stop at the Scriptures. We must go beyond the Scriptures to meet Jesus, to come to Jesus. There's a hymn that we sing, break thou the bread of life, dear Lord, to me, as thou didst break the bread beside the sea. And then we sing, beyond the sacred page, we seek thee, Lord. Beyond the sacred page. We come to the sacred page of Scripture. We learn about Jesus. We find him to be the crucified Saviour. We find him to be the buried Saviour. We find him to be the risen Saviour, the risen enthroned Saviour. And we come to him with living faith. To come to Jesus is to come to him in faith as the living, risen Saviour, who is able to bless us with this heavenly rest. Come unto me. Come to me. And you know about him, the Saviour, born at Bethlehem, lived at Nazareth, toward what's called the Holy Land, ministering, was crucified, dead and risen. Come to me. Now, he says, come to me, all you who labour and are heavy laden. It's a specific invitation to a specific people. All of you who labour and are heavy laden. What is it, what's this labouring and heavy laden all about? What does that mean? Well, to labour and be heavy laden is to suffer a distress brought about by God in the hearts of men and women, boys and girls. It's a distress of an awakened, convicted conscience because of sin. It's a distressed, restless soul. A soul that has not found rest. That's why Jesus has come to me, all of you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So this condition is brought about by God in the conscience of a person. So if God has been working in your heart, stirring your conscience, and you are troubled and restless, then it's a wonderful invitation. Come, Jesus says. Come to me. All of you. All of you who labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Well, this passage helps us to understand these people, the people who labour and are heavy laden. The setting of the passage starts with John the Baptist. John the Baptist has been put in prison by Herod, who didn't like what John was saying about him and his sin. John had come and he had awakened the nation by his message about sin and his call to repentance. He was saying, flee from the wrath to come. Repent. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. And his preaching went on to say, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Now, as John preached these things, he had the two works of Jesus clearly in view. Jesus is the Saviour, Jesus is the Judge. And these two works of Jesus, salvation and judgment, John could see as a sort of single dimension. And Jesus, he likens it to Jesus performing the work of harvest. So he will gather his wheat into his barn. He will winnow his grain with his fork. And he will burn the chaff with unquenchable fire. And so for John, the work of Jesus was twofold. There would be salvation for all people who fled from the wrath to come. Jesus would be the refuge, the safe haven, where you could go and you know that you would be safe. But Jesus was also the one who, for anyone who did not flee from the wrath to come, Jesus would be the one who would bring judgment upon them. And so he would gather his wheat, he would burn the chaff. But in prison, as John was listening to reports coming in about Jesus, the daily bulletins, no doubt, as his disciples came and told him what Jesus was doing. Oh, it was wonderful today. There were lepers cleansed, there were blind people given their sight. You should have listened to his sermon. It was beautiful. What about the judgment? I've been telling people to flee from the wrath to come. I've been telling people this coming one would be a judge. Where's the judgment? Next day's report. Ah, it was marvellous. Jairus' daughter was raised from the dead. The centurion's servant was cured from just a word of command. Where's the judgment? John couldn't work it out. And so he sends two disciples to Jesus. Are you the one who should come? Because I can't work it out. Should we be looking for someone else? Someone else who would combine these two things, salvation and judgment, in one go. And then Jesus tells the disciples, Go and tell John what you see. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have the good news preached to them. And do tell John, blessed is he who is not offended because of me. John, don't stumble over me because I'm just doing this work of salvation, bringing relief to those suffering the consequences of sin, preaching a message of forgiveness and peace. John, don't stumble over that because you've misunderstood the timetable of God. Blessed is he who doesn't stumble over me. See, John, as he preached, was stirring people up to distress of conscience, to become restless until they find their peace through Jesus. And so Jesus says to the people when he sent the disciples of John away, what did you go out into the wilderness to see? Someone who just listens to public opinion and just bends with the wind of public opinion, a reed blown about by the wind? No. Did you go out to see a kind of softy, pamby kind of man? No. You went to see a prophet, God's spokesman. I tell you, more than a prophet, John was this messenger prophesied by Isaiah. Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. John's great work was to prepare people to come to Jesus. John's great work was to prepare people to hear Jesus' great invitation, come unto me. John was working and working and preaching to prepare people for Jesus' great invitation, come unto me. John was preparing people by causing them to labor under a guilty conscience. John was preparing people for Jesus by making them heavy laden with the conviction of their sins. And he was preparing people, making them restless in their sinfulness until they found their rest in Jesus Christ. And as John preached, he preached about sin and judgment to come. And as he preached about sin, people began to get heavy in their consciences. The sin weighed heavy upon their consciences. As he preached about the wrath to come, they became restless for forgiveness. Peace with God, where can it come from? Their sin, their lying, their bullying, their selfishness, their lust, their discontent. You get that in the way people ask him questions. What should we do? Well, those of you who've got so much, you should share. Don't be so selfish. Those of you who bully people, stop your bullying. Those who are discontent with your wages, be content. All these sinful things. He prepared people by reminding them that sin is vile in the sight of a holy God. And sin will be judged by the holy God. Flee from the wrath to come. Sins in thought, sins in imagination, sins in desire, the scorn of others, the pride of self, and the lust to indulge. It's sin. It will be judged. Sins in words, spoken words, written words, expressed or unexpressed, the words we speak to ourselves in our minds, to not good. The texts, the emails, the taunts, the tales, the deceptions, the sin of words. It's vile in the sight of a holy, truthful God. The sins of action, doing things, going places, taking things, watching things, listening to things, hurting, abusing. All these actions that are sinful, they are vile in the sight of God. And God will punish all those sinful actions. The sin of inaction, knowing what was right, but not doing it. The failure to do, the failure to say, the failure to watch and hear and care, to protect. Sins. Whether it's sins of doing the wrong thing, sins of commission, or sins of not doing the right thing, sins of omission. These are things which are an abomination to God. The tax collectors, your cheating people and your employers in your double dealings. You sinners, John preached to them and they trembled. They were restless. Guilt hung heavy on their consciences and they wanted relief. They were looking for relief. And John was able to point them to Jesus. He who's coming after me is mightier than I. He is the one who can baptize you with the Holy Spirit. He's the one who can cleanse you from your sin. He's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And many of these tax collectors who were weary and heavy laden, they came to Jesus. And they find rest for their souls as Jesus forgave them. And Jesus could sit down with them and they could know Jesus as their friend. He's a friend of tax collectors and sinners, was the abusive language of his opponents. Come unto me, all of you who are laboring, heavy laden, under a guilty conscience because of your sin. Troubled by it. Come, Jesus says, come to me, and I will give you rest. Others, beside the tax collectors and the sinners, didn't like John's tune or his tone. It was too pessimistic, too mournful, too miserable. He was making people unhappy. He was causing people to come to depressed in their guilt and shame. No, no, John, we don't want that. John, you should be positive about human beings. You should be positive about life. So they didn't want John's tune of flee from the wrath to come and repent and look for the kingdom of heaven that's coming. John's relentless repentance rap didn't go down well with them. They wanted to waltz through life and be happy and not think too much about the future. Just live today just as happily as you can. Jesus says in this passage that approach is childish. John had come with a message warning people, and he'd come with a message giving hope. Jesus had come with a message fulfilling the hope and giving rest to people, relief to their guilty consciences. Tax collectors and sinners could testify They'd come under conviction in John's preaching. They'd come to comfort in Jesus' preaching. They were guilty, heavy-laden sinners, restless for forgiveness, and they found it when they came to Jesus and trusted Jesus. The people who didn't like John's tune and tone didn't like Jesus' tune and tone. The tune of forgiveness and restoration. They wanted John to abandon his sin-heavy tune, and they wanted him to dance to their tune. They wanted Jesus to abandon his joyful message of salvation and lament with them over the tax collectors and sinners and their wretchedness. You read it in verse 16 to 19. What shall I liken this generation to, Jesus says? It's like children in the marketplace calling to their companions and saying, "We played the flute for you. You did not dance. We mourned to you. You did not lament." John came, neither eating nor drinking, they say, as a demon. Why doesn't he cheer up? We're playing a flute, as it were. We want him to dance to our tune. The Son of Man came, eating and drinking, rejoicing over sinners who'd repented. And they wanted him to lament with them over these wretched tax collectors and sinners. They wouldn't enter into his joy. And Jesus said, "That's their folly. But the wisdom of God is proved right by the fruits." Here are people who were weary, heavy laden, guilty, restless, and they came to me and they found rest for their souls. If people were impatient in the days of John and Jesus, impatient with John's message of sin and wrath, the message that prepared people come to Jesus and find salvation, how much more today? The evangelical sound, calling sin, sin, and the message of wrath to come, well, the world wants to silence it. We don't want to hear that. That's making people miserable. Shut up. Why don't you dance to the tune of the world? Sin should be celebrated, not condemned. Guilt should be given a guilt edge to shine rather than to shame. It's not the day of divine judgment we should fear. It's the day of self-destruction of the planet we should be afraid of. The wisdom of the world. It's a very dangerous line to take. And I hope you're not taking it. Who are you listening to? Who are you in tune with? Are you in tune with God and his messenger, John the Baptist? God and his Son and the salvation? God's message through John about sin that will upset you, disturb you, cause you to have a heavy laden conscience and restless? Are you listening to that? Or are you listening to the world? Don't listen to that stuff. Just enjoy life. Forget about the day of judgment. Very dangerous thing to listen to the voice of the world. So what Jesus says here, he began to rebuke the cities in which most of his mighty works had been done, because they did not repent. They didn't sense the seriousness of their sin. Oh, it's not serious. God must be a monster if he thinks I'm sinful. No, God is holy and pure, and he takes sin seriously. And Jesus said this about the cities. They knew about Jesus. They knew about the purity of Jesus, the life of Jesus, the power of Jesus, but they didn't repent. Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to Bethsaida. If the mighty works which had been done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. It will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. There is a day of judgment. And for those people who dismiss God's call to repent of sin, dreadful day coming. We should listen to the tune of John and the seriousness of our personal sins. He is preparing Jesus. He is preparing people to come to Jesus. Who are the people who come to Jesus in our text? Jesus says, come to me, all of you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He says about Capernaum, you, Capernaum, who are exalted to heaven, you will be brought down to Hades. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained to this day. It would be more tolerable in the day of judgment for Sodom than for you. The seriousness of not tuning in to God and his assessment of our lives, the sin, the things you think, the things you say, the things you do, which are contrary to God's purity and holiness, it is sin that will be visited with divine judgment. In the wisdom of the world, they say, nonsense. Jesus prayed to his Father. Father, Lord of heaven and earth, I thank you because you've hidden these things from the wise and the prudent. See, that's the danger. If you dismiss the call to repent of sin, if you dismiss the message and the invitation of Jesus to come to him in all this distress and heavy-laden conscience that arises because of your sin, if you refuse that, then following the wisdom of the world, then God will hide salvation from you. I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you've hidden these things, these messages of sin and salvation. Because the wisdom of the world has dismissed it. God has hidden it from them. Please God, that by wisdom the world wouldn't know salvation. It's through the foolishness of preaching that God saves. And then Jesus says, and I thank you, Father, that you revealed these things to babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in your sight. Jesus is revealing these things to a childlike mind who accepts what God says as true. How is your conscience? Is it restless? Is it disturbed? Is it troubled? Have you listened to John as he prepares people to come to Jesus? Have you listened to God through his servant John and through his word? Well, if you have a troubled conscience, there's this invitation from Jesus and a promise, a guaranteed promise. Come unto me. Come unto me. All of you who are laden with a guilty conscience because of your sin, come to me, Jesus says. Why to him? Because he's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He is the Lamb of God who worked and worked. He's the Son of God who came from heaven to work hard for the salvation of sinners. He worked and worked. He worked battling against sin and Satan and temptation. And he triumphed over the devil. He worked carrying the load of sin. He, Peter says, bore in his own body our sins up to the tree. Come unto me, you who are weary and heavy laden. I can give you rest because I took your load upon myself. I became burdened and heavy laden with it as I marched up Calvary's hill to the cross. I carried that sin that troubles you so much in my own body up to the tree. He worked and worked until he had satisfied all the demands of the law for punishment against your sins. Come unto me. The one who, when he was upon the cross, could say about his work, "It's finished. I've done it. The payment is paid, the sins carried away as far as the east is from the west. He's removed our sins from us. Christ has obliterated the sin for all who come to him. Come unto me. All of you who are so heavy laden with your sins, I can give you rest and I will give you rest." So we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, the risen Lord Jesus, because when he had finished his work, he rose from the dead and entered into heaven's rest. The eternal rest of heaven. Chapter 12 in Matthew goes on, and in the very first verses, he shows himself, the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath. He's Lord of heaven's rest. Come unto me. I can give you rest. I'm the Lord of rest. I'm the one who's worked to provide rest for you. Worked to get rid of everything that troubles your conscience. Each sin, each load of guilt, each load of shame. Christ, as he is exposed in shame on the cross, as he bears guilt and punishment in himself on the cross, has worked to provide you with rest. To provide me with rest. And he says to us, "Come unto me, all of you who are laboring and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." William Young Fullerton wrote, "I cannot tell how silently he suffered. As with his peace he graced this place of tears, or how his heart upon the cross was broken, the crown of pain to 33 years. But this I know, he heals the brokenhearted, and stays our sins, and calms our lurking fear, and lifts the burden from the heavy laden. For yet the Saviour of the world, is here. He's here, right now. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them, the risen Saviour." And this risen Saviour says to each one of us, "Come. Come to me. All of you who are labouring and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Become my disciple. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. I'm gentle and lowly. And as you become my disciple, you will find rest for your souls. Will you enjoy this rest from the Lord of heaven's rest? Oh, come. come to the Saviour now. He gently calleth thee. In true repentance, bow before him, bend the knee. May we all come in faith to Jesus, call upon him, risen Saviour, King of rest, give rest to my troubled conscience, and may I know forgiveness that you alone can give. Amen. To close by singing hymn number 549. I heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me and rest. Lay down, thou weary one, lay down thy head upon my breast. I came to Jesus as I was, weary and worn and sad. I found in him a resting place, and he has made me glad. Number 549.
Jesus, say, come unto me and rest. Lay down, thou weary one, lay down thy head upon my breast. I came to Jesus as I was, weary and worn and sad. I found in him a resting place, and he has made me glad. I heard the voice of Jesus say, behold, I freely give. The living water, thirsty one, stoop down and drink and I came to Jesus and I drank of that life-giving stream. My thirst was quenched, my soul revived, and now I live in him. I heard the voice of Jesus say, I am this dark world's light. Look unto me, thy morn shall rise, and all thy day be bright. I looked to Jesus, and I found in him my star, my sun. And in that light of life I'll walk till travelling days are done.
Lord Jesus, all sufficient, beyond telling is your worth. We pray that all that you have to give to those who come to you might be enjoyed by us. All those spiritual blessings in the heavenly places, dear Father, that you've treasured up in Jesus, ready to bestow upon poor sinners like us. Open the treasury of heaven, we pray, and give to each soul gathered here what is needed to give them rest and joy and peace in believing. Gracious Father, in your abundant grace, supply our each and every need. Grant us to trust your Son, Jesus Christ, to come to him, to come spiritually by faith, to come to him with cry of prayer and request. Lord, honour your promise and give rest to our souls. For we ask in Jesus' holy name. Amen.